in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome to this preview edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum, the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, and joining me this evening as we watch his dad look for a large/extra large hat in the box is Zach Willis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. There are multiple Willises in the house.
There are. We have several, and we are excited about it. Just diving right into the news here. Nothing earth-shattering, I guess. We've got, if you didn't listen to the basketball pod, we will just briefly recap some of that, I guess. Three commitments in 24 hours happened real fast. They got Damari Wheeler-Thomas, about a six-foot point guard out of the Chicagoland area. Kind of a Vinny Shahid type, can create a little bit off the dribble.
It's a good area for ballers.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, is able to create off the dribble a little bit. It was able to get his own shot and distribute to his teammates. Wing Sam Hostreiter, fascinating story with his brother Jack committing to South Dakota State on Thursday. Him pulling the trigger on the Bison on Monday. You got twin brothers going to the opposite sides of that rivalry. And then big man Noah Feddersen, 6'9" kid out of Menominee, Wisconsin, potentially to play the pivot. All of that happened within 24 hours. Bison football grabs commitments from tight end, defensive end, body type Luke Kokat, and offensive lineman Ben Goldie. As we mentioned on the podcast before, they're doing a good job if you're a program, I guess, but not a little bit annoying for us as far as no one delineates between walk-ons and scholarship kids anymore, right. So we don't know if they're walk-ons or if they aren't.
Yeah.
But two commits this week for football. And then Trey Lance, sprained knee, may miss the – I believe they have a bye this week. And then may miss the – which would have been really cool, the 49ers-Colts game.
A couple Bison quarterbacks shooting it out there, but, you know.
And honestly, too, like if Jimmy G was healthy, he would have sat anyway.
Right.
You know, they would have just been Trey packages. So,
yeah.
The Carson versus Trey may never have happened.
Yeah, And you know, you can get mad about it, I guess, but I'm sure there's some people who wanted to see that matchup, but I think Jimmy G's coming back anyway, so.
Very, very possible.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
So, off week for us, I guess, no home game, but we'll be back.
I'm going to work, Zach.
Why? Big Deck will not be out at tailgating unless you want to come see us. Just kidding. I probably just made somebody in the athletic department mad. I will not come sell in your lot while there's not a home game. But we'll be out there for the 2 weeks from now. We'll be back out and then obviously find our local vendors all around town. Find us at BigDeckBBQ.com. And you can always come see our doofus faces.
So. Exactly. Online store. Always open.
Yeah.
Always open.
Across midfield. A foot race. 30, 20, 10. Trot in there, baby.
All right. What do we got coming up this week? What are you writing on this week?
I got a fun one. I'm tired of writing about heavy stories.
Okay.
So we're going to do the mascot Royal Rumble. You know, I think Mike Leach made that popular.
Okay.
A couple years ago, but I'm going to break down which mascot in the Missouri Valley I think will come out on top.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I'm guessing South Dakota State goes out early.
Yeah, just because I hate them.
Okay, that's fair. BRTV episode's really fun with our guy Lane Tucker and Jaden Price, a little bit of a cornerback feel this week on Bison Report TV, but I thought all three of those conversations, including the one with Destin Talbert that's already up, were entertaining. We've got the Jalapeno Poppers episode of – the Big Deck Tailgate Show dropping tomorrow. Zach's going to get me the recipe on that.
Yeah, timely.
And my game preview will come up Saturday as well. Okay, let's get into this matchup with Illinois State. Do you have any memories of Illinois State, Zach? Anything specific? I think, you know, the Trey Roberson, Marshawn Copprich, and obviously the thrilling national championship game down there probably should have been the start of a big-time rivalry, but ultimately kind of wasn't. You know, they fizzled so quickly.
Yeah, I think that would be the number one memory. Otherwise, I mean, I can't, you know, that's kind of why I found something funny to write about this week, because I don't really have like a deep disdain for these guys. I mean, I, as a program, I think they do it the right way. They recruit the right way. They play the right way. They're not like in your face throwing cheap shots after plays. I have a lot of respect for Illinois State.
Yeah. It's hard to hate these guys.
Yeah.
Specifically. X's and O's wise, or I guess really more accurately, Jimmy's and Joe's wise, Bryce Jefferson, he has struggled mightily against North Dakota State. I believe they lose Brady Davis that last year of James Robinson's time there. Mm-hmm. Bryce Jefferson comes into the playoffs. Tough spot, okay? That's understanding. 3-for-8 with an interception in that game. James Robinson, I think, carried it like 24 times. I think they carried it 42 times. That game was wild. Ends 9-3. But he's 3-of-8 with an interception in that game. Last year, out there in the spring, 9-of-26 with an interception. Zach, that is not getting it done.
That's not something you write home about. Correct.
And what does he struggle with from your perspective?
I don't even know. Like, it's maybe just a little too excitable. You know, I feel like he might get lost in the moment a little bit playing the Bison. You know, some dudes do step up and feel like they have to turn on another gear rather than just playing their game. And I don't think he's a horrible football player, but it just hasn't translated when they play at NDSU.
No, it certainly hasn't. And that's something that I think with him too, he brings the run aspect it in. And that's, you know, what North Dakota State loves defensively is if you can become one dimensional, or if they can force you to be one dimensional, especially if one of those dimensions stinks. And stinks is kind of what the word of the day would be for the Illinois State passing offense. You look last year, you know, we talked about this 9-for-26 with a pick performance. It also came with, you know, 11 attempts for 19 yards from the kid on the ground. He absolutely couldn't get it going. They end up averaging 3.2 yards per carry and end up scoring 7 points, or 13 points. The games before that, not a ton of production at all, but in that playoff game, he was able to get 80 yards on the ground. Bryce Jefferson was.
Right.
So how do you attack these guys? I mean, is this where, I know NDSU doesn't like to do it, but do you see a heavy box? Do you see absolutely forcing them to throw the football, or is it just kind of be going to be Cole Green being Cole Green, because that's what they normally do?
Yeah, I could see like that all around normal Cole Green domination. But here's the thing, like, if you take away one of those aspects that he's good at, NDSU knows they're good enough to beat you in the half that he's not good at. So limiting to one spot and, you know, one dimensional, like you mentioned, I think is a good game plan. But this is an offensive line that I respect and a run game that I respect, because, you know, they had an NFL guy in James Robinson, but even since he's left, they've been able to run the ball. So it's not like it was just because of him. I think they do a good job of running that, but that passing game is definitely something where we can take advantage of, I think.
Okay, you talk about respect, and I think, I think as much as Bison fans don't want to admit it, there's a lot of similarities in South Dakota State's program and North Dakota State's program.
Sure.
As far as like what they like to do, playing 40 front on defense, being strong running the football, et cetera, et cetera. You say they run the ball in very different ways because, you know, NDSU's offensive linemen are better, et cetera, et cetera. But I often see, especially you watch them run gap scheme from under center, you watch them do things that North Dakota State likes to do, you look at some of their prior successes. Is this team the closest to NDSU stylistically in the Valley, or is that maybe SDSU? I mean, The reason I ask is Lane Tucker in what an episode of BRTV that's coming out later said, this is basically like facing our offense in practice because of the stuff that they run.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like looking in the mirror?
I would say so. Even during scout team, it was basically like, hey, we're going to run this concept. Like the guys that would hold up the cards would translate it to plays that us young guys knew in the NDSU playbook. So stylistically, you know, we've talked about SDSU and I made fun of them and UND about how their O-line plays, but you know, Illinois State gets a lot of lateral movement, gets guys moving upfield. I think it's really impressive because not a lot of O-lines have, one, the dudes, and two, yeah, the coaches to coach an offensive line to play the way they do. So defensively on that side of the ball, I would say it's SDSU because everybody and their mother runs an Okie front now. That 3-4.
Yeah.
But I'd say offensively, Illinois State is definitely the closest matchup to us.
3-3 and 13 points the last three times these two teams have played for Illinois State. I feel like that's not great.
Yeah.
from an offensive output standpoint. Why is it because, like Lane said, it's like playing a lesser version of their own offense? I mean, why does Code Green have Illinois State's number to this degree? Because I just mentioned the QB went 9 of 26 last year.
Right.
Like they really struggled to move the ball and specifically struggled to score against NDSU.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, you know, Code Green likes it when we get into the season because they're not banging heads with us for every day of the week anymore. Right. But when they go and play Illinois State, they might not have the dudes that we do on our front five, but it's the same kind of defense or same kind of offense that they're facing. They just kind of know how to play it. They see it so much with the zone schemes and the gap schemes. I mean, they know how to defend it. So I think that could be part of it. And, you know, maybe it's a talent thing. I don't think the separation would be that much where they don't score more than 13 points in the last three matchups. But I don't know. It really is hard to explain because Illinois State and Coach Back do a good job. So for us to kind of have their number the way we have the last three matchups is kind of surprising, honestly.
It is, and I think ultimately, and I don't want to dump on the kid, but I think the quarterback's a huge problem.
For sure.
You know, if you don't, and it's something that, like, I've mentioned with UND, they're only going to go so far as Tommy Schuster doesn't take them.
Right.
Like, I don't think he can play, and if your quarterback can't play, you have a massive problem.
Right. Well, we've talked about that before as far as even breaking down in the NFL and other colleges is like you can get away with a serviceable quarterback if your team picks him up, but what you can't have is a quarterback that is beating your team by doing it themselves rather than, you know, you can get away with somebody who's going to get you the touchdowns and might throw an interception here and there, but, you know, 9 of 26, that's not really helping your cause.
No, it definitely isn't. All right. This is something that I've talked and we're going to take, it'll almost seem like a break because we're not going to necessarily talk specifically about Illinois State. But it's something that I have discussed with Trevor.
Yeah.
It's something I want to discuss with you. And I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but people understand that they're fantastic. Undefeated, obviously, on the road. This year, believe they only lost, well, technically two because you count Sam Houston State, but they did lose in Carbondale. But I mean, I think they've lost 5 road games in the last 10 years or something.
Just undefeated in 19. So,
yeah, undefeated in 19, undefeated in 18.
Yeah,
they're just an incredible, incredible road football team. I mean, they're an incredible football team, period. But their ability to win away from the Fargo Dome is uncanny.
Yeah.
What's that like? I mean, you don't have to give away any company secrets, but yeah, from the moment you guys get on the bus or get up to the airport or whatever it is that goes on, it seems like there's just a switch that flips.
So I mean, you know, people are gonna roll their eyes, but
say business trip.
I stayed away from that, but because everybody hears that, but you know, everything stays the same. But to preface that, I'm gonna say it's all a credit to the coaches and the staff that make it possible. Because if you told me, if you closed my eyes, blindfolded me, and put me in a hotel saying it was a road trip, I wouldn't be able to tell where we were, what we were doing, or if we were even out of Fargo, because everything is as neutral and consistent week in, week out on road trips as it can be. You have everything planned down to the minute. You have meals ready to go. Anything that you could find, you know where it is. So it takes out all that stress that you would think about in traveling for a football game, because as soon as you land, you're going in to check in, you're dropping your bags off in your first meeting. So the first thing you think about when you get there is football, which is, it's obviously a proven thing that works. So
yeah.
It's not really a company secret, but it's just a huge credit to the support staff that makes it work the way it does. Because like I said, it's like playing a game at home. You're just not in Fargo anymore.
And at home, I think, and I haven't ever strapped up a college, you know, put on pads, played any college football. I played college golf. I don't know if anyone had ever shown up to anything that I did. So I don't know for sure, but I think there's a give and take with home games. Because, yes, there are sometimes 18,800 rowdy Bison fans ready to go absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you're looking for tickets and your girlfriend's around, or your buddies want to go get a beer, or
this
family's coming, and hey, can I get four tickets from that teammate because his family's not coming, and I got tons of people that need to come into town, and this, that, and the other thing, and you know, mom and dad are tailgating, or this, that, and the other, and you've got people kind of pulling. They know you got a game to play, but people kind of pulling on you
for sure.
And on the road, it's just like, nope, it's just us.
Yeah,
it's
just us. You're 1,000% correct, because you're basically all you have is football for 48 hours.
Yeah.
None of that other stuff matters. You know, Julia would know that if I left on Friday morning, she wasn't going to hear from me until I got back on Saturday night. That's just how it was. And it's a huge credit to, one, the culture that we have. Not only, I'll speak about this too, but like, to have all that stuff going on at home games and guys are still able to show up and get the job done, that's really impressive and speaks to the culture and the type of guys that we bring in. But going on away trips, what else is there to do?
Right.
You're in the middle of Delaware. You don't know where you are. Like, you know, you're in Youngstown, Ohio. What in trouble are you going to get into here? So, you know, they lay it out and everybody knows. Yeah, right. God, but guys, all you have to do is worry about getting the job done on Saturday. And I'm avoiding business trip like it's the plague, because it's like the most football cliche thing of all time. But you go out there knowing that your only responsibility is, it's kind of nice, like you're talking about.
Sure.
All you have to worry about is playing the game on Saturday.
All right, back into it. Let's get into this game. On the other side of the ball, when the Bison have the ball, 31-21 with a special team snack and 9 the last three times they played these guys. You're never going to complain about 31 points, but 21 with a special teams tud and 9 are not great.
Yeah.
What you're obviously now to your side of the ball.
Yep.
You probably were part of the game plan for all three of those games. Yep. So what was it that what challenges did they present to you guys?
Their 6'8", 400-pound nose guard was the main.
Mr. Ridgeway?
He was the main problem. So we can talk about this, but it's actually one of the one times that the transfer portal helped NDSU.
Sure.
Because that dude got up out of there.
Arkansas.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier to worry about running the football when he's not there. He was a good player, and he was a giant human. So, you know, I also think that 31-point game was not as close as the score would indicate either. I think that was 19, obviously.
Yeah.
Going back, but I mean,
young Mr. Lance.
He's pretty decent at football, but I remember how much of a routing that game was, and it wasn't even as close as the score indicated. I feel like they're a program that would take something like that to heart and take that personally, let that fuel them, but that 9-3 game it was gross. It was gross, and I was just sweaty the whole time on the sideline, and I'm like, this is the ugliest game I've ever seen. But I don't know. I think they're the kind of program that steps up to it and, you know, maybe falters opponent in, and it's not consistent, and that's why they haven't had the continued success from that national championship run. But I don't know. I think the giant ogre nailing down the zero.
Mr. Ridgeway?
Yeah. I'm talking to you, John. I know you're listening too. But no, I think that's a huge part of it. But like you said, we talked about off air, they got some dogs still, so it's definitely going to still be a challenge for that offensive line.
So the quarterback play, and I struggle sometimes to remember the order of operations of last spring, because of, you know, kind of when the commitment was made to Cam Miller, but this was a rough game for Zeb. 6 of 13 for 72.
Yeah.
So you're right, you know, you're right around 5 yards an attempt with two picks. That's a brutal one. Cam comes in, runs it 11 times for 57 yards, gets that touchdown where he pulls apart the Superman and you know, pops the collared shirt and has the S on his chest.
Yeah.
But he was 5 for 7 of 61 yards. You know, he's up around 9. Was that the game that everybody after the game, and I don't want you to be giving away company secrets or telling me stuff that makes you uncomfortable, but after that game where Zeb struggles so mightily and Cam comes in 5 of 7, plus he's averaging damn near 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Leads that last drive. Could you feel a shift?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. It was just like, it was all focused on getting it done that Saturday that I couldn't even really tell you. It was like, we need to start Cam on Monday, because we were rolling with whoever was in when the ones were playing. So, I mean, I think a young guy that needs his flowers here was Jake Rock, because I think that was the first him showing up, and both those young cats coming in for those last last quarter to pull that off.
But, oh yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was playing. But to answer your question, it doesn't make me uncomfortable or anything, but I don't know. I guess I hardly even noticed it. We just kind of trusted in the staff, and whatever they were going to do, we were going to roll with, because we thought and we know that they were going to put us in the best position to be successful. So
oddly enough, this team kind of reminds me defensively of you and I, and we'll get to why in a little bit. Their corners are okay. They've got a dog at nose guard that we'll talk about. But I think this is another game where you let Quincy cook, because I think he's your best run mismatch. And certainly through the air, the more he can progress in a game that's a little less stressful, I think it's a big deal. We saw two through the air and two on the ground from QP2 last week. I just, man, for me, it's like the more threatening he can actually be, the more game planning for him other teams have to do, then you might see the running backs start to get love.
That's my thoughts in the grand scheme of things, like from a 1,000-foot view of this entire season, is like, let's let this young cat, while it's still early in the season, build some confidence throwing the ball and all this stuff. And you know, these guys are going to have to start respecting the passing game soon. And what you have to do is take advantage of that, because I don't think the running backs room has produced the way that they would expect themselves to do. So, I mean, I think, why not? What hurts, you know, building the game plan around letting Quincy figure this? And we say that like he's played bad so far. I mean, Quincy's doing all right, but that confidence to make those deep playoff runs and step up when the game matters, start now. So I think that's the biggest thing. You know, if you can take advantage of a mismatch, one, the dude's the freakiest athlete on the field besides number one.
Talk about him in a second.
But so make them respect every aspect of your game, and I think Quincy has a lot of weapons that ISU Red has to worry about, because one, he could run for 200 yards, but like he proved last week, he can also throw it 80 yards over your head if you give him the opportunity to. I just want to see him get in there and build that comfortability. There were a couple of times where I told you last week, I'm like, does it look like he's bouncing around? Does he have happy feet? You know, is he getting nervous about pressure getting to him? Whatever. Just the way you get more comfortable with that is more reps as you get through it. So, you know, let him keep cooking, let him keep cutting his teeth as he gets going. And I think that's a good plan, because QP could be really special if he really maximizes his potential throughout this year.
The guy that's really given them fits is Christian Watson.
Sure has.
And C-Dub gives everybody fits, but, you know, there are games we've mentioned, like, Christian, as good as he is never going to have, like, the Jake Winicky year when he has 80 catches,
right?
You know, and 1,600 yards.
He would have 3,000 yards if he had 80 catches.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But he has actually had some fantasy football-ish numbers against them. 4 catches for 93 yards last spring. Year before that, with Trey throwing to him, 7 for 107 and a tud.
Yeah.
He gives these guys problems.
Which was a screen pass, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Correctly. A total tunnel screen.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what it is as far as a matchup thing, but, you know, they obviously like feed number one when we play ISU. So I would expect a big game from Mr. Christian Watson this week.
I would too. I mean, he's really starting, I think, to cook a little bit as far as becoming a more complete player. And honestly, it's good for a number of reasons. Like, can you out-athlete everybody? Sure. Is he still terrifying if it's all go balls, posts, and jet sweeps?
Right.
Sure. But, like, that deep in, and if you could hit him on a slant and those 9-yard stops where he threatens deep, stops, catches the ball, and then embarrasses somebody.
Yeah.
That's what NFL scouts, not only does it help the Bison win,
right,
which it does, but that's what NFL scouts want to see. They want to see a developed route tree. They want to see him, you know, affecting short, intermediate, and deep, and not just being a guy who you either hand it to, smoke it to, or who's going out for a bomb.
Right, because there's a million of those cats that could get drafted every year, but I think he's really going to separate himself with his skill set that he's, like you mentioned, that he's building. And here's the other thing is Christian's the kind of guy you can lean on to make a play whenever rather than when we need a play, you know, where like
right.
If it's kind of a grinder and it's getting gross, you can hit him on an 8-yard slant and the dude has the potential to take it to the house every time. So, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say we were critical, but we talked early in the season about like the concentration drops and stuff like that. It feels like he's playing loose and really like looking like Christian and how we think Christian could, because genuinely, like at any level, he might be the best receiver in the country when he's playing at full potential.
For sure. And, you know, we mentioned concentration drops because like I talk to NFL people all the time. That's the biggest concern.
Yeah.
Are the drops. And, yep. And so, and they're not because he has bad hand-eye coordination or he can't catch the football.
Right.
Most, at least from my perspective, most of them are concentration drops or running before he has the ball secured, that kind of thing.
It almost looks like a problem that Quincy has where it's like, dude, just take a deep breath. Settle right. down. It's going to be okay. Like, you are the stud on the field. So,
right.
Just let your game cook. There's no reason. Like, just look it into your hands. When you catch the ball, you'll figure it out from there.
When is my your guy?
What a sentence.
Yeah, when is my your guy, Brandon Westbrook, going to catch a break? Because I watched 4 games of ISU Red on offense today, on defense today, and 96 is a dog. I thought after Ridgeway was gone, life was going to be fine. This man wrecked Western Michigan. Powell, 96,
yeah,
wrecked Western Michigan and then continued to wreck SIU. He's your snapping turtle. 6'1", 290. We look at him on film, just squatty, just yeah. nasty.
Hey, how about this? He's like a tall Mike Buto.
He is like
No, but like I was telling you after you texted me after you're breaking him down on film, and I was like, dude, we game plan for him too. Like Ridgeway was a problem and we knew in the run game we had to take care of him, but like 96 can rush the passer too. Like he's a good player. He just kind of got overshadowed by 99 out there.
Yeah, and now I think he's getting his flowers because I think their defense really kind of runs around him, and that's why to me, that's why I really am reminded of Northern Iowa when I watch this yeah. team on defense. Who's their best player? The nose guard right. again. Who else can play? Well, the defense is exactly what I said about Northern Iowa. The defensive ends are kind of and yeah. the linebackers are kind of and the corners are good, but the safeties aren't.
Problem.
So that's why I can kind of see a very similar offensive game plan from North Dakota State, because from a who's good on the other team perspective, these guys look a lot like Northern Iowa.
And how much of that do you think is a product of NDSU's success on the offensive side of the ball? Like they're obviously building the interior D line because they've had to deal with Tanner Volson and Austin Kuhnert. And I'm not even going to start listing names because there's a million offensive linemen from NDSU that dogged people for 4 years. So that's kind of an interesting thing. I just thought about that as you were talking there, but I mean, there's a reason that these big nasty D tackles play in the Valley.
Right, because if these defensive coordinators have got to be like, if these MFers run A-gap power for 8 yards one more time, I'm going to kill someone.
We need a snapping turtle.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so another big test for Brandon Westbrook and those interior offensive linemen. If they are able to win, if they're able to win their matchup more often than not, I think this is going to be kind of a cakewalk for North Dakota State, because I'm not as afraid of Illinois State's offense as I was of Northern Iowa's.
Sure.
And that brings us, of course, to prediction time. Zach, go ahead.
24-7.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I'm at 27-3.
I keep stealing your numbers every week.
No, I mean, I just, 27-3. I don't think they're particularly good on offense.
Yeah, I same kind of thought process. You know, maybe you get the end around or something that works, or even like a special teams thing. But I don't really see a lot of offensive production. It's definitely not going to be a shootout. I'll put that on wax. And if I'm wrong, you got free sauce for a year.
Sure, but yeah, 27-3 for me is like, I just don't see how they get to 10. I really don't. They've struggled against this NDSU team before. I don't think that personnel-wise they're any better on offense. Code Green, I think, is looking to make a little bit of a statement after giving up 20. Yeah. 20 is a lot for these guys.
For sure.
You know? And this is a team that's averaging 6 points per game against NDSU over the last three. 3, 3, and 13, and it averages about six.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to pick them to get...
Why would you?
Right, yeah. To score a ton of points. But I'm not going to lay down the shutout disrespect at this time.
No, yeah, me either. I mean, like Coach Spack has my respect in that whole program. I think they do a good job. And, you know, even going back to the spring, they were hurt big time by the portal. It's not just Ridgeway, but I know they lost a couple guys on offense. And
COVID, too. COVID was rough on them, and the portal was rough on them.
Yeah, the spring season was not good for the Redbirds, but, you know... Like I said, I think Big O will get the job done. You'll always get that prediction from me because I love those guys. But it's definitely not going to be a shootout. I don't think anybody's going to blow the doors off the dome, but I think NDSU wins handily.
All right, there you have our predictions. We want to thank Zach for taking the time to come down here to the studio and get this show done for all of you. We want to thank Big Deck Barbecue Company for being the title sponsor of the podcast. Want to thank all you wonderful fans for listening. Have a wonderful weekend, and go Bison.